Mountain State Mysteries contains mature themes and discussions that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. All individuals mentioned in this episode are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Hey, y'all. I'm your host, Mark Covey.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Mountain State Mysteries. Before we get into today's case, there's something I want to say. We've covered a lot of stories here on Mountain State Mysteries. Some involve decades-old mysteries. Some involve heartbreaking crimes. And others remind us how fragile life can be. Today's case is all of those things. It's a story of a 14-year-old girl who was trying to find her place in the world. Like so many teenagers, she wanted independence. She wanted to grow up. She wanted to experience life on her own terms, but that desire ultimately placed her on a path that would end up in tragedy. More than three decades later, her family is still searching for the answer to one simple question: who killed Fame Cooper? This is the case of Fame Cooper. Now, Court, before we dive into the story, can we just talk about her name for a second? Because I don't think we've ever covered someone with a name quite like this.
I was literally thinking the exact same thing. The name Fame just stands out. You hear it once and you don't forget it.
Exactly. She was actually named after the David Bowie song Fame. And I have to admit, that's one of my favorite David Bowie songs. So when I learned that while researching this case, I thought that it was a really neat detail.
I actually love that. It's such a unique name, and somehow it fits her personality from everything I read.
It really does. Fame was born in Fairmont, West Virginia on September 19th, 1975. She was the second of three children born to Tina Marie Soprano. But from the very beginning, life wasn't exactly simple. Each of the three children had different fathers. Each eventually carried different last names. And while that alone doesn't define someone's childhood, it does help paint a picture of how unstable things could be sometimes.
It sounds like she was born into a situation that wasn't always easy.
She was. In fact, her birth name wasn't even Fame Cooper. It was Fame Less. Her biological father, Fairmont native Rick Less, would later be convicted of the 1986 first-degree murder of Cindy Cralston. Now, it's important to say that conviction happened years after Fame was born, and none of that was her fault, but it became part of the story surrounding her life. Her mother worked as an exotic dancer, and according to family members, she was often absent from Fame's childhood. Eventually, it was decided that Fame would live with her maternal aunt, Mary White, and Mary's elderly father. It was a decision made out of love. Her family believed that she had a better chance at a stable life.
And honestly, it sounds like Mary really stepped in and became the parent Fame needed.
She did. In fact, another decision was made around that same time. Family members believed that she would be better off without carrying the name Less. So she took the surname Cooper, which had originally belonged to her older sister, Sunshine. It was a fresh start, a chance to build her own identity. And for a while, it seemed like she was doing exactly that. Despite everything she experienced early in life, people who knew Fame described her as someone who genuinely enjoyed being a kid. She loved rock music. She played with Barbie dolls and Cabbage Patch Kids. She went to school dances. She had celebrity crushes. She laughed with her friends. She dreamed. One of her biggest dreams was becoming a model.
And I have to laugh at something her sister said. Apparently, Fame didn't know how to take a normal picture. Every picture was basically a glamour shot.
I love that. And you can almost picture it. Most kids smile when somebody pulls out a camera. Fame apparently struck a pose. It's little stories like this that make someone feel real. They remind us that before she became the subject of newspaper articles and police reports, she was just a teenage girl, trying to figure out who she was. People who knew her described her as bright, compassionate, loving, and full of life. Her aunt later called her a delightful child, someone who always seemed to be searching for something, even if she wasn't quite sure what it was.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, especially at 14. You're trying to figure out who you are, where you fit in, who your friends are, and what your future looks like.
Exactly, and that's what makes this story so heartbreaking. Because underneath everything else, Fame was still just a kid. But as she entered her teenage years, the people closest to her began noticing changes. Small changes at first, nothing dramatic, but enough that her aunt knew something wasn't quite right. Looking back, she believed those changes really began in the fall of 1989. Fame had just started her freshman year at East Fairmont High School. Teachers later described her as quiet, sometimes withdrawn, but they reported no major disciplinary problems, nothing that immediately raised red flags. Unfortunately, the changes happening outside of school were much harder to ignore.
And I think this is where the story really starts to take a different direction, because she is still this kind, caring girl, but something is changing.
Exactly. The little girl who loved Barbie dolls and dreamed of becoming a model was beginning to chase something else. Freedom. Independence. And that search would eventually place her in situations far more dangerous than anyone around her realized. When we come back, Fame begins sneaking out of her bedroom window. She falls in with a new group of friends. A deputy tries desperately to steer her in a different direction. And years later, his warning would prove hauntingly accurate.
Hey everyone, I'm Alex, and I'm from APAW Unsolved in West Virginia. I'm a missing persons advocate with a background in criminal justice and psychology, and this channel was created to bring attention to the missing and murdered cases that deserve to be remembered. Here we talk about real people, real families, real stories that still need answers. I spend time researching these cases, speaking with families, and sharing the stories of victims from West Virginia and surrounding areas in hopes of bringing more awareness to cases that are often forgotten. Some of these families have spent years searching for answers. Some are still waiting for someone to come forward, and sometimes all it takes is one person hearing a story to make a difference. If you care about true crime, advocacy, and helping keep these cases in the public eye, make sure to subscribe to APAW Unsolved in West Virginia on YouTube and follow me on Facebook. Together, we can help make sure these stories are never forgotten.
When we left off, Fame Cooper had just started her freshman year at East Fairmont High School. To her teacher, she was a quiet student. She wasn't getting into trouble at school. She wasn't causing disruptions. Only if you knew her from the classroom, you probably would have thought she was just another 14-year-old girl trying to find her place. But outside of school, the people closest to her were beginning to notice something had changed.
And I think this is where we have to be really careful not to judge Fame. Because at 14 years old, you're trying to figure out who you are. You're testing boundaries. You're looking for independence. Unfortunately, sometimes that means making decisions that scare the adults who love you.
I couldn't agree more. Looking back with everything we know today, it's easy to say she shouldn't have snuck out or started hanging around certain people. But at the time, she was a teenager, and according to those who knew her, she wasn't a bad kid. She was just searching for something. As 1989 turned into 1990, that search became more obvious. She began sneaking out of her bedroom window at night. She started spending time with a new group of friends, many who were described as partiers. Now, despite rumors that would surface after her death, there has never been evidence that Fame was using drugs, abusing alcohol, or that she was sexually active. What concerned her family wasn't necessarily what she was doing. It was that she was disappearing for days at a time.
And that's got to be terrifying for the people raising her. Because one night turns into two, then three, and you don't know where she is or if she's safe.
Exactly, and every time she ran away, her aunt contacted the Fairmont Police Department, time after time. Officers would locate her and bring her home. But each time she returned, the cycle started all over again. She'd apologize, promise she'd do better. Things would settle down for a little while, then she would disappear again.
You can almost hear the frustration, not because her family was angry with her, but because they didn't know how to help her.
That's exactly how it comes across. And I think it's important to remember that Mary never gave up on Fame. She kept trying to find ways to reach her. She wanted to understand why this bright, loving girl suddenly felt the need to keep running away. Then in January 1990, things became even more concerning. Fame attempted suicide by overdosing on cold medicine. It was a heartbreaking moment for everyone who cared about her. And it made it painfully clear that this wasn't simply teenage rebellion anymore. There was something deeper going on.
That changes everything because now you're just not worried when she's sneaking out. You're worried she's hurting.
Exactly. Her aunt had reached the end of her rope. Not because she stopped caring, but because she tried to do everything she knew to do. And that's when she reached out to someone she believed could make a difference. Marion County Sheriff's Deputy Kevin Moore. Deputy Moore became much more than an officer who kept bringing Fame home. He genuinely cared about her. In later interviews, he said he tried to become a father figure, someone she might actually listen to. He sat down with her. He talked with her. He tried to understand why she kept leaving. And more importantly, he tried to warn her about the road she was heading down.
This is probably one of the saddest parts of the whole story for me. Because you can tell he wasn't just doing his job. He really wanted to help her.
He did. And one thing he told Fame has stayed with people for decades. He looked at this 14-year-old girl and said, quote, "You're getting into an area that you're not going to be able to get out of. Some of these people are just looking for people like you to snatch up. You're going to end up on a slab down at the coroner's office." End quote.
I got chills the first time I read that because he wasn't trying to scare her for the sake of scaring her. He was trying to save her life.
Exactly. And what's heartbreaking is that by all accounts, Fame listened. She didn't argue. She didn't lash out. She seemed to understand what he was saying. But understanding it and changing her behavior were two different things. Not long afterward, her actions landed her in a juvenile correctional facility in Parkersburg. Mary didn't have transportation to get her there, so Deputy Moore drove Fame himself, on his own time. That's the kind of investment he had in trying to help this young girl. A few weeks later, he was also the one who brought her home. Unfortunately, nothing had changed. The same pattern continued. Fame would leave. Deputy Moore would find her. She'd come home, apologize, promise things would be different, and then she'd disappear again.
Looking back now, it almost feels like everyone could see the danger except Fame herself.
And I think you're right. She wasn't some rebellious kid who didn't care about anyone. She was a 14-year-old girl searching for acceptance, for freedom, maybe for a place where she felt like she belonged. Unfortunately, that search would lead to one summer night when she would climb back out of her bedroom window and she never came home again. When we come back, it's July 10th, 1990. Fame slips out of her bedroom after dark. Conflicting reports emerge about where she was last seen. And somewhere in Fairmont that night, a 14-year-old girl vanishes without a trace.
Hey y'all, I'm Elisa.
And I'm Samantha.
And welcome to Watch for Deer Podcast. We're a couple of best friends from Southern West Virginia, and around here, Watch for Deer is our way of saying we love you and be safe.
This is a conversational podcast that covers many topics from A to Z, including, but not limited to, true crime and the paranormal. Our goal is to bring you an episode a week. So come listen as we tell stories that will make you laugh and maybe even blow your mind. Y'all be safe
and watch for deer.
When we left off, 14-year-old Fame Cooper had fallen into a pattern that everyone around her desperately wanted to break. She would sneak out. Deputy Moore would eventually find her. She'd come home, apologize, promise to do better, and then, before long, it would happen all over again. It was a cycle that had repeated itself several times. So when the evening of July 10th, 1990 arrived, no one realized this time would be different.
And that's probably what makes this part so heartbreaking, because for Mary, this wasn't completely out of the ordinary. Fame had ran away before, but she always came home.
Exactly. The history would shape the way everyone responded that night. Unfortunately, it also gave whoever was responsible for Fame's disappearance a head start. Very little has ever been publicly released about the hours leading up to her disappearance. Even today, there are still gaps in the timeline, but here's what investigators do know. Sometime before 8 p.m. that evening, Fame climbed out of her bedroom window once again. She quietly slipped away from the house on Gladden Street in Fairmont's west side, where she had been living with her Aunt Mary. Where she planned to go, who she intended to meet, whether she had made plans with someone beforehand, those questions have never been answered.
And that's one of the biggest frustrations in this case. The very first hours after she left are still so unclear.
They are. And to make matters even more confusing, there are conflicting reports where Fame was last seen. One account states that she was with friends at the Castle Video Arcade on the east side of Fairmont near Wendy's. Another places her at the corner of 3rd Street and Virginia Avenue, near the northern end of the 3rd Street Bridge. Both locations have been reported over the years, but investigators have never publicly clarified which account, if either, is accurate.
And that's really important to point out, because if we're trying to understand what happened to Fame, knowing where she was last seen could completely change the investigation.
Exactly. And that's why it's important not to present one version as fact when the available information isn't entirely consistent. Now, one of those accounts includes an especially disturbing allegation. According to reports I have circulated over the years, Fame may have been abducted around 8 p.m. that evening by several unidentified men traveling in a van. The reports claim the van then drove towards East Fairmont. But again, authorities have never publicly confirmed many of the details surrounding that account. So while it's part of the history of this case, it remains just one piece of an incomplete timeline.
And that's something we've talked about before on this podcast. When a case goes unsolved for decades, rumors have a way of filling in the blanks, but rumors aren't evidence.
Exactly. And in this case, there are a lot of blanks. When Fame didn't return home that night, Mary was concerned, but she wasn't immediately alarmed. After all, Fame had run away before. She disappeared for days, then she'd come home, usually with an apology. Sometimes she would even leave a note before she left, or find some other way to let Mary know she was okay. That's what made this time different. There was no note, no phone call, no message, nothing.
And I think that's when your instincts start kicking in as a parent or guardian. You know your child, you know their habits, and even though she's ran away before, this didn't feel the same.
Exactly. Days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. Summer slowly gave away into fall. Then the temperatures started dropping. Mary later said one moment convinced her something terrible had happened. Fame never came home to get her winter coat. Think about that. A 14-year-old girl who had always eventually found her way home never came back for these things she would need once the weather turned cold. For Mary, that wasn't normal. It was the moment hope began giving away to fear.
That detail really stayed with me because it's such a simple thing, but it says so much. If Fame had been alive, if she had been able to come home, she would have needed that coat.
Exactly. Mary's fears were about to become reality. On Saturday, November 10th, 1990, nearly 4 months after Fame disappeared, two hunters were walking through Robinson Holler near Barrickville. It was late in the afternoon when they came upon something no one ever wants to find, human remains. They immediately contacted the Marion County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff Junior Slaughter responded to the scene alongside medical examiner Dr. Warren Peast. But by the time they arrived, darkness was beginning to fall, until investigators could begin a proper examination the following morning. No one knew for certain whose remains had been found, but there was already one name weighing heavily on everyone's mind, Fame Cooper. When we come back, investigators return to Robinson Holler at daybreak. A horrifying discovery confirms their worst fears, and a piece of evidence left at the scene reveals that 14-year-old Fame Cooper wasn't just missing, she had been murdered.
And what investigators found around her remains would make this case even more disturbing.
Hi, I'm Shane.
I'm Hannah.
And we're Country Roads Creeps. We're a podcast that covers all manner of creepy, spooky stories, from cryptids and conspiracies to unexplained deaths and disappearances to mysterious and paranormal happenings in the world.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Check out our Facebook page and our Instagram account at Country Roads Creeps for photo dumps and more information we'll post with every episode.
If you enjoy the show, please feel free to share us with your friends and leave us a 5-star review. And if there's any topics that you'd like to hear us cover in the future, feel free to message us on our social media accounts. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, be safe driving home and watch out for the not deer.
Bye.
Bye.
When we left off, two hunters had made a horrifying discovery in Robinson Holler near Barrickville. Hidden in a wooden area, they had found what appeared to be human remains. As darkness settled over Marion County, investigators secured the scene. They would have to wait until first light to begin the painstaking process of examining what had been found. By then, many feared they already knew who the victim was.
And at this point, Mark, Fame had been missing for almost 4 months. So while there may have still been hope, I imagine there was also this overwhelming fear that something terrible had happened.
I think that's exactly right. As heartbreaking as it is to say, by November, hope was beginning to fade. The next morning, investigators returned to Robinson Holler. Sheriff Junior Slater, medical examiner Dr. Warren Peast, began carefully examining the scene. Almost immediately, they realized they weren't looking at someone who had wandered into the woods and died from exposure. This was a homicide.
And that changes everything, because now investigators aren't just trying to identify the victim, they're searching for a killer.
Exactly. The remains had been badly affected by months of exposure to the elements. Some clothing was recovered near the body, but according to Sheriff Slaughter, it had been deteriorated so badly that it couldn't be used for identification. Dr. Warren Peast estimated the remains had been at that location anywhere to 2 to 6 months. That timeline was consistent with when Fame disappeared in July. Then investigators made another devastating discovery. Wrapped around the victim's neck was the length of electrical wire. Authorities concluded the young girl had been strangled.
Just hearing that, it's heartbreaking. She was only 14 years old.
She was, and while investigators believed they already knew whose remains had been found, they couldn't make that announcement until they were absolutely certain. Over the next several days, medical and dental records were compared. Then, on November 20th, 1990, the confirmation everyone feared became official. The remains were those of 14-year-old Fame Cooper. One of the hardest parts of this case involves Fame's Aunt Mary. Investigators asked her to come in and look at several personal items recovered from the scene. Imagine being in that position, knowing what investigators suspect, but still hoping they're wrong. Among the items recovered, Mary recognized a unique pink wallet. She immediately identified it as belonging to Fame. It was another painful confirmation that the little girl she spent years trying to protect was gone.
I honestly can't imagine what that must have felt like. After months of wondering where she was, to suddenly be identifying her belongings, that's every family's nightmare.
It really is, and unfortunately, the investigation was only becoming more disturbing. Authorities determined that Fame's body had been left behind an abandoned house about a mile into Robinson Holler. The house is no longer standing today, but at the time, it sat along the eastern side of a creek that runs through the holler. Investigators also concluded that Fame had most likely been killed either the night she disappeared or very shortly afterward, meaning whoever was responsible had nearly 4 months before her body was ever discovered. Because of the condition of the remains, investigators were never able to determine whether Fame had been sexually assaulted. But they did recover the evidence at the scene. Authorities have never publicly disclosed what that evidence was. However, investigators indicated it suggested something especially disturbing. They believe that Fame's murder may have been what they described as a thrill killing, and that she may have been tortured before she died. Now that's incredibly difficult to hear, because investigators have never publicly released exactly what led them to that conclusion. We're not going to speculate beyond what has been officially stated, but it does give you some insight into how horrific they believe this crime was.
It also tells you why this case has stayed with so many people. Not just because a 14-year-old girl was murdered, but because of the brutality investigators believed was involved.
Exactly. Unfortunately, as investigators began trying to identify the person responsible, they ran into another problem, time. Nearly 4 months had passed, evidence had deteriorated, witnesses' memories had faded, and whoever killed Fame had a significant head start. Then something else started happening, rumors. And those rumors would complicate this investigation even further. Some people began claiming Fame had been involved with drugs. Others suggested alcohol. Some even spread stories involving devil worship. None of those rumors were ever substantiated, yet they continued to circulate through the community.
And that's one of the things that frustrates me the most about cases like this. Instead of focusing on finding the person responsible, people start trying to explain away what happened to the victim.
Exactly. Some even suggested that Fame had somehow brought this on herself, but that's simply not true. She was 14 years old. Whatever mistake she may have made, nothing justified what happened to her. Nothing. And while those rumors spread, investigators continued searching for answers. Unfortunately, those answers weren't coming easily. When we come back, the investigation takes an unexpected turn. Authorities begin looking at another teenage girl's murder. A man becomes the prime suspect in both cases. But despite years of investigation, no one has ever been convicted of killing Fame Cooper.
And more than 3 decades later, her family is still waiting for justice.
Hey, y'all, I'm Dan, and I host a podcast called Kinfolk, Stories of Community and Connection. I talk with folks from all over Appalachia, artists, small business owners, local legends, you name it. We share real stories about what brings us together, what keeps us going, and all the magic tucked away in these hills. If you're into small town charm, big hearts, and good conversation, come hang out with me on Kinfolk. You can find it wherever you get your podcast.
When we left off, the investigation into Fame Cooper's murder had reached a frustrating standstill. Rumors spread throughout Fairmont. Investigators were chasing leads. But despite months of work, no one had ever been arrested. Then, in March of 1991, there was finally an update. Marion County Sheriff Junior Slaughter announced that the investigation had moved into what he described as, quote, an entirely new stage, end quote. He revealed that investigators had received information back from both the FBI and the National Center for Violent Crime. Unfortunately, he refused to elaborate on exactly what information that was.
And I can understand why investigators sometimes have to keep details close to the vest, but for Fame's family, that had to be incredibly difficult. They finally hear there's movement in the case, but they still don't have any answers.
Exactly. And after that announcement, the case once again seemed to disappear from the headlines. But just over a year later, everything changed. In March of 1992, authorities made another heartbreaking discovery. Remains were found near Huey Run. Eventually, investigators identified them as 15-year-old Kimmy Eddy, who had disappeared in 1989. Suddenly, law enforcement wasn't just investigating one murdered teenage girl, they were investigating two. Sheriff Slaughter and other investigators openly expressed concern that they might be dealing with a serial killer.
And that's a terrifying thought, because if these cases were connected, it meant whoever was responsible could still be out there.
Exactly. And as investigators started comparing the two cases, another name entered the picture. Now, Court, while I was researching this case, I came across something that really caught my attention. It wasn't even the main focus of an article. It was almost mentioned in passing. Authorities announced that a bench warrant had been issued for 26-year-old Norbert McGinney after he failed to appear for trial on multiple alleged sexual assault charges. Around that same time, Sergeant Marshall Parker was reassigned to the Fame Cooper investigation. Parker had originally worked the case before stepping away after becoming the subject of a federal obstruction of justice indictment. He was later acquitted for those charges and returned to investigative work. Then in September of 1993, McGinty was publicly identified as a prime suspect in both the murders of Fame Cooper and Kimmy Eddy. That same month, he was captured in San Antonio, Texas, and authorities immediately began the process of extraditing him back to West Virginia.
In hearing that, you probably think investigators were finally about to solve this case.
That's what many people thought, but that's not what happened. McGinty later pleaded guilty in Kanawha County to an unrelated nighttime burglary charge and received a sentence to 1 to 15 years in prison. Investigators questioned him intensively about the murders of both Fame and Kimmy. One witness claimed that he had heard loud noises coming from McGinty's apartment around the time Fame disappeared, but investigators were never able to confirm exactly when those noises occurred. And perhaps most importantly, no one had ever publicly stated that they saw Fame Cooper and Norbert McGinney together. So while he was publicly named as a prime suspect, he was never charged with the murder of Fame Cooper. And to this day, no one else has ever been publicly identified as a suspect either.
I think that's such an important distinction. Being considered a suspect isn't the same thing as being found responsible. And after all these years, the person who murdered Fain has never been brought to justice.
And that's why this case remains open. Today, Fain Cooper is buried in Berwickville Cemetery. Her family has made sure she's never been forgotten. Year after year, they decorate her grave with flowers, candles, little keepsakes, and reminders that she is still loved. And there's something especially heartbreaking about where she's laid to rest. Her gravesite sits almost within sight of where a Robinson Holler, the same place where her remains were discovered all those years ago.
That really stayed with me because even after 36 years, her family is still showing up. They are still remembering her, and they are still hoping someone finally comes forward.
Exactly. And investigators believe the key to solving this case has always been the same. What happened to Fain Cooper after she climbed out of her bedroom window on July 10th, 1990? Where did she go? Who did she meet? Did she willingly get into someone's vehicle? Did she tell anyone what her plans were that evening? Somebody, somewhere, knows the answer to at least one of those questions. And after all these years, that information could still make the difference. You know, Court, as I finished researching this case, I kept thinking about something. People often remember Fain as a 14-year-old girl who kept running away. But I don't think that's how she should be remembered. I think she should be remembered as the little girl who loved Barbie dolls, the teenager who couldn't resist striking a pose every time someone pulled out a camera, the young girl who dreamed of becoming a model, the niece who was deeply loved by the woman who raised her. She wasn't perfect. But then again, what 14-year-old is? She deserved the chance to grow up, to make mistakes, to learn from them, to become the woman that she was supposed to be. Instead, her life was stolen before she ever had the chance.
And I think that's what makes this case so heartbreaking. For 36 years, her family hasn't been asking for anything extraordinary. They've simply been asking for the truth.
Exactly. If you know anything about the murder of Fain Cooper, no matter how insignificant you think it may be, please contact the Marion County Sheriff's Department at 304-367-5300. Even after all these years, justice is still possible.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Mountain State Mysteries. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review and share this episode with someone who believes these stories deserve to be heard.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube by searching Mountain State Mysteries. Until next time,
stay safe.
And remember, sometimes the answers we're searching for have been waiting in someone's memory all along.